Take your Bibles this morning, open them up to Ezekiel chapter 37, and when you get there, go ahead and mark that, and you'll want to go to James chapter 3. I think it's official. I think our family is crossed the line into redneck. I do. This week, one of the things I'm recognizing, and it's good to do, is just to get out more with people. And so I went dove hunting this week with Ron, and had a blast. I actually hit a couple dove, and the fun part was cleaning them. I don't know if you've ever shot dove, and you clean them, and you take your fingers and just kind of do that. And so in my freezer are 7 dove breasts, so I'm excited about trying to cook them. And welcome to, I'm sure Amy would love to do that. I'm getting a no. And then last night, crossing into the realm of redneck, we had a buddy come and spend a night with Michael, Brett, and they said, hey, we want to go fishing over to Maryland's Pond. I said, absolutely, go for it, kind of 9 o'clock at night. And they come back, and I really am an early-to-bed guy. And they come back, and they have a bullfrog. And I said, what'd you catch? They said, we caught a bullfrog. And I'm like, great. And I look down, and it's in a bucket in our sink. Like, you know, we're not into pets here. And Brett goes, hey, let's have frog legs. And I'm like, no way. So I went up and I went to, you guys cooked these frog legs, right? Carved it up. And wow. So redneck right here. Overalls next week. So it's fun. So, I mean, what other exotic animal can we eat this week? So we're excited. Hey, I am so glad that you're here, and we're going to talk about an area that is just going to get so personal, and I'm glad because relationships are really what life is about. As I sat there behind a dove blind with Ron, and we just talked for 2.5 hours, it was neat, as Brett comes over, and these guys are hanging out. And you know this, that what makes church really church is, you know, the programs are great, and the preaching is all right, but it's the circles, right? It's the relationships that you build. And relationships are so rich. I mean, when you think of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's community right there. There's the circle. And the reason communication is so powerful is because communication really sets the tone for relationships. You can have a man and a woman that just really watch what they say up to the point when they make their covenant vows. And the words that come out of your mouth can really determine the future of that marriage, right? It can propel it through amazing trials in a marriage, or it can actually just speak death and bring harm. And one insult at a time just begin to cut away at what God meant to be forever. You know this in the heat of a moment, dads, where we could say something out of our mouth that could devastate a son or a daughter. Some of us, like me, have some fractured relationships because of my very own words. And I take responsibility for them. And so today what I want to do, listen, let's just be all honest. All of us are guilty here. All of us have used our words as weapons. And the beauty of what we just sang, and by the way, your singing was exceptional this morning. And you were just following the heart of an amazing leader in Pastor David and his team. But you know, James says, listen, there's this dichotomy that we all have, or we can sit in a service and feel the Holy Spirit, and we can sing to the top of our lungs, and we can walk right out of this service, and we can just devastate the people that are sitting in our car with our words. And James would lovingly, yet very pointedly say this, my brothers, these things just shouldn't happen. So today, I want to come humble with you today, but I want to come forceful because it's the scriptures that you and I really need to value and weigh every word that we say. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and Solomon would write this, and I'm sure if you've had any length of time growing up in church, you've heard this, you're very familiar with it, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And you know, we see that, and intellectually we would say, absolutely, I agree with that. And some of us know that, not necessarily by what we've said, but by what has been said to us. And yet, statisticians will tell us that again, not to be sexist, that a man will speak between 2,000 to 6,000 words in a day. That's a lot of words. It's a lot of consonants and vowels put together. That a woman will speak between 7,000 to 16,000. Now, believe me, Amy would say there are exceptions to that rule, all right? She probably lives with a 16,000 man. Christian's going, Nick Cox, no way. Tony's saying, Nick Cox, no way. So let me say this. There are exceptions to the rules. And I think you like me, because we use words so frequently that we become a little bit flippant with them. And we don't recognize that truly in our words, there is the power of life. And there is the power to kill. I'll never forget this one counseling session about 17 years ago when I was a youth minister in Indianapolis. We had a guy that came out to our youth group named Mike Scott. Mike actually was our first intern we ever had here. I don't know if you remember intern Mike. Mike was a great guy. And Mike was our evangelist at Southport High School and kind of in the Greenwood area. And we had our youth group on Wednesday nights, and Mike was always good about bringing people to the youth group. But there was this one particular gentleman, young man in particular, that would come out, and he was just one of those guys, very muscular guy, kind of a manly man, but just kind of had an edge about him. There was this bent toward him. There was this, you felt like there was something always, that he was upset. And something had happened in youth group, and I just needed to talk to him. And I said, hey, can I meet you after school? Can we go get a Coke? And as I sat across from him, and just a couple weeks into the relationship, I asked him a question. I said, what's going on? You just seem like you're really upset. And I don't know you real well, but can I help? Is there anything I can do? I can certainly at the very least pray for you. And this manly 16-year-old kid put his head down, and when he looked up, just his eyes were filled with tears. And he was weeping so hard that you could barely breathe. You ever had those moments where you're just weeping and you have trouble just breathing? And he said, well, Kevin, here's what happened. About 4 years ago, as a developing teenager, he lied to his mom and he broke something. And his mom then, in the heat of the moment, began to tell a story how she conceived him out of wedlock. And that she came to this critical juncture where she went down to a family planning center and was contemplating aborting him. And out of the words of his biological mom, she said, you know, with the way you act, I almost wish I had an abortion. And as I sat there and heard those words, there is a young man. The power of words bring death. And he asked this incredible question. He said, if your own mom wasn't sure that she really wanted you, how could you ever trust anyone, let alone God? The power of words. What complicates this is what James writes. I want you to look in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Verse 5 says this. He'd say, the tongue is such a small member, yet it boasts great things. You know, honestly, I met that mom, and I don't think that mom really meant that. I don't think that mom intended for the harm that took place in that son's heart happen. But she said it. That just small words in a heated moment sent out unfiltered create amazing catastrophe. It says this, verse 6, so the tongue is a small member, verse 5, how great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. The tongue is a fire, it's a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set on fire on our members, staining the whole body. Literally, the tongue is setting on fire the entire course of life. The tongue is set on fire by, you see it? Hell. And as you look up, I just want to say this, that even us as Christ followers, even as people that have been set free, you and I possess the potential every waking hour to speak life or to speak death into the hearts of people that we love. I love what Paul Tripp put. He said, the natural tendency of our hearts is to selfishly employ words to get what we want. I struggle with that. Anybody else? And I'm good at it. I can take words and I'm not getting from Amy what I want. And I'll tell you what, I can guilt, I can shame, I can manipulate. And it pains me that my heart is bent that way. But it is. And the reality of it is so is yours. And this is why this morning, in the next 20 minutes, why you really want to sit up and listen. Because unless you take your words and you filter every single one of them through the Holy Spirit, unless all the consonants and vowels that you put together are guided by the Scripture, here's the reality, the painful reality of that, that you will speak words of death into the very people that God has called you to lift up. Ashamedly, I have. How about you? Well, just to bring clarity, what are words of death? First of all, they're careless words. Matthew 12:36 would say this, that Jesus would say, you and I are given to give an account for every idle word. Idle, another interpretation of idle, is careless. This is illustrated by a minister that I love to listen to named Kyle Eidelman. How many of you ever did the fan or follower series? That was Kyle Eidelman. Kyle Eidelman pastors this humongous church in Kentucky. And he was telling a story that I listened to this week, how he got himself in trouble with a careless word. He has a lot of millennials that come to his church, and he wanted to relate to the millennials. And he was talking about someone asked him, what do you do on your day off? And here's what he said. I watch Netflix and chill. Now, for me, that means nothing. That means watching Netflix. I don't have Netflix. Who has Netflix? Okay, everyone talks about Netflix. I have cable. But anyways, all right. I watch Netflix and chill. And all of a sudden, after he said that, his phone blew up when he went back and was getting ready to preach the next one. And all these people that basically were 27 and under said this, Pastor Kyle, I don't think you know what that means. Netflix and chill is a euphemism for having casual sex, all right? So basically he said, hey, on my day off, I have casual sex, all right? So the very next Sunday, he got up after just email upon email. He goes, he didn't realize what he was saying. He was careless with his, please do not use the expression, watch Netflix and chill. I learned something. I called my son. I said, is this right? And he laughed. He said, oh, Dad, don't say that, all right? Okay. You know what? You and I come home from work. We're exhausted. It's just been a work where everyone wants something from us, and your daughter comes up, and a careless word comes out. A careless word that communicates to that daughter that employee that needed you in that meeting is more important than her need right then. Careless. The second way we communicate death is words of criticism. Proverbs would put it this way, there's one whose rash words are like sword thrust. Criticism. You married on potential. You got a 6th round draft pick. And you know what? You believe that you can criticize your husband into being the husband that you dreamed he can become. And your marriage is a relationship that is centered on constant barrage of criticism. And all of a sudden, listen, he doesn't want to be around anymore. He's working late anymore. He's going out with the guys a whole lot more. He's taking weekend trips with the guys a lot because it's this constant nagging. It's this constant criticism. Your wife works hard and cooks a dinner, and immediately what you do, instead of saying thank you, honey, for making the extraordinary effort, this frozen pizza rocks, all right? Criticize. Picturesque speak in Proverbs, he put it this way, it's better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a quarrelsome woman. Why does he want to be home? It's words that just criticize. Words that just belittle. This is a big one. Number three, words of comparison. Beautiful story. We talked about it in camp with identity. Pharisees praying in the temple. Tax collectors on his knees crying out to God says this. God, thank you that you did not make me Pharisee, Christian all-star, LeBron James, like him. Who's him? Him is the tax collector. And in doing so, he labeled himself, the Pharisee, as wanted by everyone, loved by God. At the same time, he labeled the tax collector unwanted by everyone and unlovable by God. And you and I do it. You know what? that your husband works hard and all you do is you complain about the house you live in because you compare it with someone else. And what that translates to the husband is, what you're doing to provide for our family isn't good enough. What you do is you compare your wife to other women in the church. Oh, she cooks good, and I wish you could kind of, you know, take it a step up from the Stouffer stuff, right? You compare. Here is where we do it. Sorry, I'm trying. Puberty's almost there. 50, going on 51, all right? Here's where we do it. We do it with our kids. Because everything about our kids' life is competition, isn't it? It's competition in class ranking. It's competition in athletics. And you are more satisfied as long as your kid is winning. As long as your kid is conquering. You know the very best your student may do is a C+. Celebrate that and stop comparing your kids with other kids. You know what? Their best may be the bench on JV. And that's okay. Stop comparing your kids to other kids. Stop comparing Rock Prairie to other churches. Stop comparing your car with other people's cars. Stop comparing, all right, everything. Because here's what comparison communicates. Are you ready for this? Conditional love. That I will love you if you will get as thin as her. I will love you if you will bring home a check as big as his. I will love you when you hit a home run. I will love you when you get a 3.5. I will love you when you start on varsity. And all comparison does is set as an achievable standard. And it communicates in covenant relationship where I accept you just as you are. I'm thankful God brought you into my life. But I compare, I compare, I compare. And I communicate that, listen, I'll love you if you will. That's not love. Love is, I despite you, I love you. Love is, I love you no matter what. Do your kids have that freedom? Does your wife feel that way? That what if she can't cook a lick? I love you anyways, and I will eat burnt hot dogs for the rest of my life. And I will love you. You know, all right, there you go, okay? Don't compare, all right? I'm not Celine Dion. There we go. All right. Here you go. Some of you just kind of cut to the chase beyond comparison. You're just cutting with your words. I love that. That means number 965, better go get your kid. That's awesome. All right. Proverbs 11:9, with his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. Look at me. Your wife is not giving you what you want, so I'm going to selfishly employ my words to make her do what I want. I'm going to manipulate her. I'm going to get her to agree. I'm going to win the argument. It is amazing. Sometimes I love being a preacher. Sometimes I hate it. And I'll tell you when I hate it, because whatever I'm preaching on, God always sends a test that week to say, can you do it? So I'm like, this week, this is going to be a life giver. I'm not going to speak death. And so we wake up on Saturday morning, and all of a sudden we have a major crisis. Phone charger crisis. Anybody ever have a phone charger crisis? Right? I lost my phone charger. And I've been like secretly switching phone chargers out. And Amy goes, hey, my phone charger isn't working. And I love her. I apologize, but I'm going to need my phone charger back. And I'm like, what phone charger? And look at me. Something as trivial, something as silly as a phone charger. I come to deacon's meeting and I'm loaded. And you know what? I'm just angry and I'm seething. And words come out of my mouth that speak death over a big issue. Phone charger. Can I ask you something? What in the world are you going to say when something really is wrong? How are you really going to respond when something serious happens? Words of death. Can I ask you an honest question? In the relationships that you have, are you just careless with your words? You just go around and just like a weed eater, you just take people's love and joy and you just whack it down with your careless words. I mean, at work, are you the complainer? Are you the one that stands at your station, sits at your cubicle, stands in your factory line, and you complain about the $29.95 that you're making an hour and the benefits that are being robbed from you and stolen from you? Are you that guy? Are you the one that comes home? Yeah, you're like, I'd like that job, right? There you go. Okay, become a preacher. But anyways, no, believe me, that's not true. But hey, cutting words. Cutting words. Who have you cut this week with your words? And here's what we do. And I am so guilty of this in the heat of the moment because it's not spiritually directed, because it's not Holy Spirit filtered. After you say them, you say these words, I'm sorry. And here's what God does. He takes those words away and they never remember them anymore, right? No. Because some of you are sitting next to someone that has spent a lifetime of cutting, comparing, and criticizing. And we don't even like being that person ourselves, do we? Enough of that. Let's talk about what we can do. Let's speak words of encouragement. I love this. Proverbs put it this way. A word in due season. Here we go. A right word at the right time is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. And that's kicking. That's awesome. Did I say something? Kicking? Hey, after Demetrius, I'm trying to up the coolness factor, all right? And I promise you I'm not going to go smoke weed after the service, all right? Now you're listening, aren't you, okay? I love what Paul writes. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Stop speaking words of death. Stop killing your wife. Stop dicing up your husband. And by the way, here's the problem. Now we have an avenue where our opinions and our words of death can be spread globally via social media. And I'm telling you, Christians are shaming the name of Jesus. Because you get on something that you can send or like or hate or whatever, and you get on there and you are just killing organizations, you're killing other churches, you're ruining reputations. I mean, you're slicing and dicing. And you can do it from miles and miles and miles away. In the name of Jesus, can we please stop that? We please stop that? That's why people don't want to sit in these seats. Because you compare. You cut, and boy, Christians, because we know everything, we're good at criticizing, aren't we? I don't want to be that person, so here's what I want to do. I want to speak words that build up. I want to lift you up. You know what I'm recognizing? There are so many people that you don't even realize that are hurting. Do you know that? Crushed. And do you know the power of a teacher when you have a student and you just say, awesome job. I'm so thankful for Troy Klum. I don't know if Troy's here today. Troy had Michael in class. Troy, you had powerful words in my son's life. Thank you. Thank you. And you gave him a B, so it's awesome. You know what I'm saying? No, he earned that B. He earned that B, right? Yeah, he earned that B. I'm so thankful for Jason Arms. I mean, we take for granted. We really do, Jason and Alicia. They speak truth into my son's life. They lift him up. Aren't you thankful? And you know what? But the minute we don't get from our teacher what we want, the minute we don't get from a youth pastor what we want, the minute we don't get from our husbands what we want, the minute we don't get from our preacher what we want, here's what happens. We selfishly employ our words. And I'm going to get what I want. And I don't care what it does, and I don't care who it hurts. Let's not be that people. I want to speak words that lift up. I want to get it at the right time. I mean, I want a right time. Boy, it was amazing, the timing of this. He's here. He's going to hate. I'm not even going to share who it is, but he'll know. I was driving back from a hospital. Long day. Rough day. One of those days, I call them resume update days. Anybody ever had a resume update day? Because you just think, I got nothing left. Driving, ping, goes off. I'm not going to tell you whether I read it when I was driving or not. I wasn't. I had to stop and get gas. And I said, here you go. Thank you for everything you do. You're an amazing man. Your sacrifice to help others is in a unique class. I know you know that we love you and your family. But for me personally, I truly love you, brother. I pray that every time you feel down, which the timing of this was just perfect. I pray that every time you feel down and God puts my name on your heart so you can text me so I can reassure you how much I love you. I'm your Barnabas. If I were your boss, I'd tell you to take Monday off. You ready? It's a deacon. A deacon. Right word, right time, right place. I walked in, I said, Billy Graham ain't got nothing on me. Man, I'm running from every... There you go. All right. I'm redneck. Take your Bibles real quick. Let's end. 37 Ezekiel. I want to talk as we end real plainly. What if you have spoken words of death? What do you do? What if you've killed your marriage? What if you've harmed your child's heart? Can it ever be brought back to life? Ezekiel was a prophet, and a prophet was this. It was a person that spoke on behalf of God. And God would send him to people that necessarily didn't want to hear from God. And in a few circumstances, the people who heard God's word from the prophet would respond, but most of the time, they ignored it. As a matter of fact, they would try to kill the prophet. So there was just huge risk. And Ezekiel is at one of those historic moments with Israel, where Israel is running and rebelling against God. And he takes Ezekiel 37:1. I'll just let the scriptures tell the story. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there was very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. In other words, he takes him to picture Israel. Here's their spiritual state. It's corpses everywhere with no life. And so he takes Ezekiel out, and he asks Ezekiel a very interesting question. Here's what he asks. Look at verse 3. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" In other words, listen, Israel has rebelled, they've refused, they've rebuffed, they've stiff-armed God. Is there any hope? Question. And here's where I've often wondered, and I hate to admit this, have I just been so devastating with my tongue that in my relationships that appear to be lifeless and dead, can they ever be brought back to life? Can God ever heal it? Can my wife and I ever really have closeness? Same question that he's asking Ezekiel. And I love Ezekiel's honest answer, and I think a lot of us are here. He says, God, only you know. I don't see it happening. Lord, I've wanted it. I've regretted what I've said. I've regretted the years of criticism. I've regretted the years of comparison. I regret the years of cutting words. But God, only you know. And then God tells him to do something. Instead of wallowing in what you've done, instead of continuing on in the path of destruction with your tongue, here's what he tells Ezekiel to do. Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I, the Lord, will cause breath to enter you, and you will live, and I will say to sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you, and you will live, and you'll know that I am God. So then, the next verse, verse 7, Ezekiel goes out and he prophesies, and all of a sudden things begin to happen. But if you look at verse 8, I looked and behold, there were sinews on them, so it's kind of coming together, it's a progression, but it says there was no breath in them. And then he prophesies again, verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood to their feet and they became a great army. Look at me. Here is how. Here is how, even with words that can never, ever, ever be taken away, you can bring life and breath and joy and closeness back to a relationship that you've destroyed with words. Listen to what God has to say. Stop listening to your feelings. See, when you hurt people with words and they put the wall up, you're ready to quit, right? Because you're not feeling it. And so here's what I want to do. God, what do you say is true about my marriage? Your wife is a gift from God. Your mission is to love your wife as Christ loved the church. I want you to speak over her words of truth. I am grateful for you. I am thankful for you. I praise God for you. And even though you don't feel it, and even though you're not getting what you want, instead of selfishly employing your words to get what you want, why don't you speak what God says is true? And you know why we do that? We do that by faith. If we knew that things were going to be fixed, of course we do it. By faith is just doing something out of obedience to God and trusting Him for the outcome, right? And so, husband, if you have just devastated your wife with words, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get your nose in the book, and I want you to learn what God says is true about your wife. She is a beautiful creature. She has a tender heart, and you are called to nurture and love and care for that heart. Speak words of life into her. You look beautiful. Thank you for this frozen pizza. It is the best frozen pizza I've ever had. And Amy makes this amazing chili. Skyline, I can't wait for fall. Speak truth. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for your smile. Thank you for your joy. And as you continue to speak truth into her heart, look at me. Watch what God does. Don't you manipulate anymore. You stop trying to extract out of that relationship what you feel you deserve. You speak truth as you listen to God's truth and you watch what His grace can do. And as you do that, hear me, you stop speaking words of death. You stop selfishly employing your words to get what you want. See, the future of your marriage really is you. You can be that selfish man that, as that friend of Mike Scott said across me, his spirit, look at me, was crushed because of one 2-minute exchange with his mom. Or you can be that guy in your wife's heart that text from a deacon takes and propels them to be the person that God has called them to be. You can be that teacher that can take that son that all he hears about in his home is how unwanted he loves. You can be that teacher that they walk across that graduation platform confident because you spoke words of life into them. God, help all of us to speak words of life and not words of death. Amen? All right, so the mission this week is mission and courage. Mission and courage. Who can you, coming across? The lady at McDonald's when they got your order wrong again. Hey, yeah, thank you. I hate salad, but I'll eat it. All right, okay? Mission encouraged. The coworker that's a jerk. You know what? You're the best jerk I've ever met. No. All right. Mission encouraged. Mission encouraged. Will you say it with me? Here we go. I want to speak life into the hearts of people, not words of death. Father, I thank you for your word. And Jesus, I am probably the most guilty culprit this morning of selfishly employing words that bring death. And Father, I want to be a person that speaks life. Father, what would happen to our little community of Tipton, the school system of Tipton and the school system of Tri-Central if we just decided we're going to employ the 2,000 to 16,000 words that we get a day? God, we're going to guide them with the scriptures. We're going to filter them through the Spirit. And we are going to use them, Father, to build your kingdom by building love and truth and grace into the hearts of people. Father, send us out today with the mission to encourage. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.